Yeah, it is amazing. I actually forgot about that. Then I was like, oh, maybe I should include that in my testimony today. Because I think some of us have probably joined here that might not even know that. Like, where did this whole thing start? We just arrived and there's this awesome church here. But it did come from somewhere. And it was actually a lot to do with my family. In fact, I'll share just a little bit later. But Chantal was with me, my wife. Obviously also needed her. And Thorin actually had just been born. It was about 3 months. In fact, it was just after he was born, actually, that we heard the call of God. And we moved about 3 months later to Sea Point from Melkbos. So, yeah, amazing, huh? So you can tell by Thorin's age how long ago that was. He's definitely not a little baby anymore. He's a big man. Cool. So, so this is just a story. It's just a testimony. But really, it is Jesus' story. It's his story lived out through me. So I'm just going to share just a little bit about how I came to know Jesus, how I got saved, how I gave my heart to him, what happened before the time. But I think one of the most important things when you share stories, actually what happened after you met Jesus, like how has there been fruit ongoing? It's not just one encounter with God. Thanks, man. It's not a one-off encounter with him giving your heart to him. It's actually about being discipled into becoming a little Christian, which is actually a little Christ. A Christian is a little Christ. It's a picture of who Jesus is on earth. So that's quite a tall order, hey? Are we actually looking like Jesus if we look at our own lives and audit ourselves? So, bit of a challenge. Awesome. Let me just grab 2 seconds. Okay. Hopefully I don't knock it over. So you guys have got this was actually a friend of mine, Yaku, that designed this. What do you call it? Pulpit. If you look at it carefully, do you know what it is? It's a fish. It's awesome. Anyway, just for those who are wondering, the spine, the vertebra, yeah, the tail. So there we go. Just saying. You guys are creatives. You should have figured that out long ago. Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah, just explaining the picture. Okay, so as a young boy growing up, I wasn't born a Christian. But there was a sense of, this world I was born into. How could I have come, like I think I was about 5 years old, just come out of blackness, there was just nothing, then I was born, and how could I just go back to nothing, like blackness? How's that, like what's the meaning of life? Just lying there in bed going like, I'm sure some people have thought that thought. It kind of just set me on this journey. Like I wasn't in a Christian household. My parents weren't preaching the gospel to me. They used to take me to church, like just on Christmas and Easter, like a lot of South Africans do that. But there wasn't this sense of actually Christianity is about a relationship with the living God, with Jesus. So in primary school, I went to an SU camp. Okay, I know the audience here probably doesn't know what that is. It's called Scripture Union. Okay, SU, it's still a cool thing. I think they're still here in South Africa. And I remember we got given these little journals. And I went home to my friends in East London. And I sat in a quiet room. They had this awesome big house. And I was in one of the rooms and just started thinking about, like, the questions. You know, they asked you questions, like, who's God? Like, just kind of, he was reaching out to me through that camp. Like, there was obviously a gospel message, all of that kind of thing. And maybe we can just put up on the board Acts 17, verse 26 to 28. Which I can read to you guys. It's really awesome, actually. Let me just read it. Okay, it's not the song, but it's fine. So it's from one man, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him. And find him, though he is not far from any of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. How cool is that? God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from any of us. That's up now, cool. So how awesome is that? That God, even when I was that little kid in primary school, he actually, like I might not have known him, but he was the one that was reaching out and he knew that we could actually... Yeah, that we could actually perhaps feel him and reach out towards him. So God knew about me before he knew me, before I knew him, he knew my address. He knew exactly where I was living, 7 Sandringham Road in East London. It's still there. But you know what? The thing is, he knew about me, and maybe I didn't have the best upbringing. Maybe I wasn't pointed towards Jesus. I mean, my parents did an awesome job with me. I was one of 5 kids. I was actually the eldest, in fact, and they had a younger brother, Jeremy, and then we had triplets. So there were 3 of us, and so it was a lot of kids. And I probably didn't receive the love that I needed, if I'm honest. And I think most people here today could say, like, their parents weren't perfect. They did make mistakes, and they maybe didn't give us the attention we needed. We didn't get what we needed from our parents. I mean, that's a fact. No parent is perfect. But when I was 13 years old, I moved away from home. I moved to boarding school. It was about 200 k's away from where I lived. And for me, that was a massive turning point. My parents dropped me off at the school, and I remember when they walked over the bridge on their way home, I was like, part of my heart just like got ripped out of my body. I was like, oh my Lord, I feel alone. I feel like, what has just happened? And I remember I was homesick for months. I was like homesick for 3 months, or like I was close to my family. Despite them not being perfect, like any family is, I felt alone. I had to make new friends. I was in a new city, a new school. It was high school, and it was different. But inside of me, there was just this longing. Like there was, I didn't know it then, but or recognize it at the time. But there was like, I needed something else. There was something inside of me that was like, I just feel broken. I feel lost. I feel alone, and I need something else in my life. So this was the point. I was 13 years old, leading up to actually getting saved, giving my heart to God for the first time. Because Jesus says in the Bible that he draws all men to himself. He's a personal God. He's somebody that cares for you. Whether you're here today, maybe you're here, you've never been to church, you don't know about this God that I'm talking about, but he knows about you, and he's busy drawing you to himself. That's why you're here today, is actually to meet the living God. I really believe that he is going to save people here today, and you're going to have an encounter with him. All right, so exciting. God's going to do amazing things. I believe he wants to even heal people here, set people free. That's the kind of God that I serve, and I've seen him do it in me. So he had a plan, man. God is a God with a plan. And he sent a Latin teacher at the time. He was mad keen about windsurfing, which is like an old school thing that old men do, or some youngsters do as well. Back in the 80s, it was radical. It was like it's called windsurfing or foil. Some people might have seen those guys, you know, on those little foil boards with holding onto a little kite as you go across the flay or on the beach. Anyway, that's what I used to do. And this guy, he was actually a born-again Christian. He was radical. He was a Latin teacher. He told me about Jesus. In fact, there was a revival going on in the school at the time. I mean, it was insane. Like, guys, this is like one of the top private boarding schools. It's a Christian school. And people were, the parents were like, what is going on here? People are giving their hearts to God. My kids are speaking in tongues. They're getting filled with the Holy Spirit. Like, what is happening? This guy must be some kind of cult leader. I mean, there's a nice chapel on Sunday. That's safe, you know, to go. You know, we can read through the liturgy and everything's cool. We know exactly what's going to happen every day we go to church. But this guy was like, man, there's something else happening. And he had these like little community groups like within the boarding school. Remember, it was in the bottom of a dingy like basement area. And guys in the church, not in the church, but in my boarding house would get together and we would actually have kind of community, like cell group. And they explained the gospel to me. They said, this is what getting saved about. You know, you give your heart to God, you repent of your sins, and then you get filled with the Holy Spirit. So I was like, okay, well, that doesn't sound like a bad idea. I mean, I've got nothing to lose. I feel all alone. I'm searching. I'm looking for meaning in life. Let me just give this a go. And I did, and I prayed, and I received the Holy Spirit. I spoke in tongues. I mean, it was radical. Like, back then, in that context, it was like, what? Like, speaking in tongues was, and it was happening to even my friends in other schools in East London, but it was amazing. I had an encounter with God, and I was born again by the Holy Spirit. I was filled with power, and I was now on this journey. A seed had taken root. I'd said, I'm dead to the old Julian, I'm alive to the new one. He made me a new creation, and now it is this process of actually being watered by the Holy Spirit, growing up into a disciple of Jesus. Yeah, and it was Christians, you know, I didn't have to become a monk and wear a funny brown robe and have a strange hairstyle. I mean, I still did fun things. I was still a normal kid at school. So yeah, so this is when things kind of changed. And unfortunately, I started this process of backsliding. So if you're born again Christian and you're not connected to a community, amazing church like this one or another church, the chances are pretty high that you're going to start moving back away from God if you're not being discipled in his ways, becoming more like Jesus. So it's really important not what you get saved from, a life of sin or hectic stuff that happened to you. Even if you stole a pencil, that's hectic to Jesus. That's also sinful. But yeah, we have to. It's important to find a family that where you can be trained up in God's ways and get to know him. And then the second thing is when you get saved, I found out the hard way, is that there's a target that gets painted on your back. We have a real enemy. His name is called Satan. He's a real being. And it basically got to the point where, I actually had to see a psychiatrist. I had to go on medication. At the time, I didn't realize that it was the beginning of schizophrenia. But I soon found out, or later found out, that actually it had become schizophrenia. So I did take medication at some points, but it was only in the first year out of school that I actually, when I started experimenting with marijuana, that, I didn't even do anything hectic with regards to kind of getting high on that stuff, but just a couple of pulls of that terrible drug, it actually literally sent my mind into a tailspin, and I started getting psychotic in the second year out of school. So anyway, one thing led to another. I'm not going to go into detail. No, there are some younger people here. But basically, I started having the symptoms of schizophrenia, and I wasn't aware of it at the time. My parents didn't know it. I didn't know it. I was hearing voices in my head. I was paranoid. Basically, one thing led to another, and I ran away from home. I committed a terrible crime, and I was admitted as a state patient to Falkenberg Hospital, which is just down the road. So I was in... This was now like out of school. I was living in East London, but now I'd come to Cape Town, not out of choice, but just by basically these voices in my head that told me to come down here. That was how sick I was. I actually was out of touch with reality. I was not in a good space, and I was far from God. I'd fallen way, way far away from him. So it was actually a maximum security ward, so it was actually with a lot of criminals. I was probably the only white guy there. This was during the apartheid times, so it was quite dangerous. It was actually very dangerous. They actually told me to just stay close to the security guards, just to kind of stay alive and just make sure that nothing terrible happened to me. So the amazing thing is in that dark space that actually, like, I'd fallen far from God, I'd run away from home, I'd left my family, that God actually sent these incredible guys from the Cape Flats, this guy, Pastor Johnny. Used to come to the hospital like every second week, and he would just tell me, "Hey, Julian, like, you know what? Jesus loves you still, my friend. He's got a plan for you." I remember something in me was like, in this broken state, I need to get to Pastor Johnny and to get to the service in the hospital. So I heard the gospel again. I heard that was the answer to my problems. It wasn't the doctors. It wasn't the medication. Those things were important. I had to listen to the doctors, sure. I had to take my medication. I was diagnosed as schizophrenic. I knew that I had to comply. That's really important. If you are mentally ill or you've been diagnosed with the illness, I'm telling you, don't just chuck away your medicine and say, "Oh, Jesus has healed me." Like, that's dangerous. So we'll talk about that as well. but it's very important to stay on that, to take advice. But I knew that the deeper need, I needed something much deeper. The answer wasn't just in that. It wasn't in the physical realm. There was a spiritual aspect to what I was experiencing. And the doctors gave me a depressing prognosis. I promise you, they said to me, "You won't get married. I've got a wife here. You won't have kids. You won't be able to get a normal job. You'll have to go live on a farm. There's no way, like, starting your own business. I mean, like, are you on drugs?" I mean, like, I did try that, but it didn't go well. But yeah, it was just like the prognosis they gave me was impossible. I was like, okay, this is not like the life that I had dreamed. Still, I mean, I was sick, but I was like, Lord, Like, I've known you before. Like, I need to come back to you. I know that. I know I've messed up, but surely you're a gracious God. You can do the miraculous. And, it wasn't until about a year and a half I got out of, I won't say prison. It felt like prison, but because it was maximum security. I mean, we literally, I could just see Devil's Peak. That was like 8 months. That's where we were living. It was hectic. And I reintegrated into society. I mean, it was like pre-internet. There was no phones, I didn't even read newspapers. I literally was like cut off from the world for a year and a half. It was like shocking to come back into the real world and get a job and just like transition. But in that time, God, I remember I had this little Bible and, you know, those little Gideon's Bibles, and it said like, you're feeling like this, then read the scripture. And I just had it there and I just started reading and I was like, flap, you know, there's hope. This is the truth. This is like, if I'm feeling like this, have you seen those Bibles? How cool they are! Like, if you're feeling like this, read that scripture in the Bible, and it actually started changing my mind. I was like, oh my Lord! Like, I did know you, but I really need to come back to you. And it wasn't until I met a girl that actually she took me back to church, and they did a whole lot of fun, crazy things back in the day in East London, that I actually started coming back, and God started drawing me back to Him. So that's kind of where things started changing. And now I'm going to talk about the part after, when I got real with Jesus. So I decided I was in East London. I worked in a camera shop doing, I wasn't interested in photography, but I was like, okay, this is kind of a cool thing to be doing. God said to me, I just felt like I need to go study photography. Let me go down to PE. Anyway, he put me in a place right close to Harvest Church. I started looking at Anglican churches because I was like, that's all I know. That's like my reference or family reference for church. But I was like, there's something more there's something more that I need. This is like not it. There is something more. So I found Harvest Church. Actually, that's Andrew Selly that started this church was actually saved into Harvest. So it was a pumping church back then. There was basically like a revival going on. So he had actually moved on. I got there after he'd left. He was in the storehouse. And then God sent a guy coming off drugs from Cape Town to my flat. He actually stole a couple of things from me, but he took me to... The important thing about him was that he took me to Storehouse in Port Elizabeth, which was actually where Andrew and the bunch of guys that started this church, Joshua Generation, were. And the first day I got there, or evening, I'll never forget... Milani, some of you guys might have met her, and Julie, and Yaku and Sharon, and I don't know if Andrew and MC were there. They might not have been, but anyway, they took me into a room, and they just started prophesying over me after the first meeting, and I was like, they read my email. They were like, you love photography. They didn't, just remember, guys, they didn't know anything about me. This is like what you're going to do. You're going to be I think they might have said something about leadership. I was like, what are you talking about? I hardly even know God. Like, but anyway, they basically prophesied God's purpose over me, and all the things that the doctors had said were impossible. They were basically just speaking life over me, speaking God's word over me, speaking the truth of what He had for me. So it was incredible, man. And it took me about, they planted out and moved to Cape Town. I was still finishing my photography degree, so I couldn't move straight away. I wanted to. They were like my best friends. I was like, these guys are on a mission. They're going to plant this church called Joshua Generation in Cape Town. And I want to be there with him. I want to be where the action's at. And unfortunately, it took me a bit of time. But in that time that I stayed behind, I met another guy that you guys might have heard of him, Brad Verena, leads Oxygen Life. Again, just the important thing of choosing your friends wisely and getting locked into a home group. And that guy, he discipled me like a boss. I promise you, he just took me. We used to go surfing together, do fun stuff. But he taught me how to be like Jesus. And he is like, that looks firing. I mean, he's like, I don't know, he's in Australia now, but I mean, we're still friends. He asked me how my marriage is going, so I still consider him like one of the guys that's actually a spiritual father. But the point is that we need those kind of inputs. We need to be plugged into community because that is how you're going to grow. All right, so then a year, fast forward now, I've moved to Cape Town. A year and a half later, after getting there, I met this incredible woman. Actually, I'd met her visiting Cape Town when I visited Andrew and the guys because they planted the church, and I'd come down a couple of times to pray with them because I wanted to be a part of that thing, man. I was just like bummed that I still had to be in PE, but I actually met Sean. She was actually in a abusive relationship. At the time, there was no like magic happening at that point. I wasn't ready to get married, so just make sure you are ready to get married before you start looking around, young people. But I was in love with Jesus. He was my first love, and when that happens, I promise you, you're not interested in guys and girls or the opposite of whatever sex you are. When you're in love with God, God brings the right person at the right time. Okay, so yeah, and then she was the best thing that ever happened to my life after Jesus, for sure. And 3 years later, Thorin was born, this amazing blonde man here, and I've got a second son, Gabe. That's also, he's in Musenberg. He's unfortunately not with us. He's in the congregation down that side. He was born, and at that time, I really felt that God wanted to he'd heal. I felt like I could actually start coming off. I had faith to come off medication. I spoke to my psychiatrist and said, hey, like, you know what? I know you're Jewish, but not that that had anything to do with it. I don't mean that in a bad way, but I'm saying he was a Jewish psychiatrist. So we didn't have God, like, we didn't know God in the same way. So I don't mean that in a bad way at all. Sorry, guys, I came out wrong. But what I mean is that in his opinion, he wasn't a Christian. I think a lot of Christians go like, oh, yeah, like God's healed you, like throw away the medication. They'll talk to their friend or leader. But actually, like we need to speak to medical people that are not seeing it from the same point of view or worldview as a Christian. And he, as a Jewish psychiatrist, said to me, you can actually start coming off your medication. Okay, sorry, guys, if some of you are Jewish, I didn't mean that in a bad way at all. Jews are, they know the Old Testament and they're incredible. So, yeah, but the point is that actually I could go off. And he was ready, in his professional view, he said I could go off it. So fast forward to to Gabe being born. By that time I was weaning myself off and actually came off the medication completely. By the time Gabe, who's now 18 years old, I could say no more meds. The first night I slept fine. I was worried about that because I've been taking these meds for like, I don't know how long. It was a very long time, like 20, I can't even remember. It was a long time. But I was fearful, but I knew that God had spoken to me. I'd spoken to my elders. I'd spoken to my psychiatrist. I said, Lord, you need to put it with writing on the wall, literally, like that I can leave this medication. Because the consequences of me at that stage, having two children, being married, being a leader in church, I think I was a deacon at that point. If things went pear-shaped, I mean, we'd basically started this congregation in a home. Like there were already people God was drawing to himself. And what if that goes wrong? What if I relapse and become psychotic again? It was huge. So fast forward to the present, 18 years later, Gabe is still my son. Things are still holding together by God's grace, but I have totally been healed. I mean, that is the amazing story, eh? Oh. So, yeah, guys, like, I mean, hey, like, that is, if that isn't a story of God's grace, like, from absolutely, I'm not saying I'm a hero now, but I was definitely a zero back then. And it hasn't been easy. It hasn't been plain sailing. The devil has still got a plan to kill, steal, and destroy me. And all I've learned is actually just to be more humble, be more open, learn to recognize the voice of God better, be quicker in obeying what he tells me to do, not delaying on that. I mean, I don't always get that right. But he's blessed me, man. I've been married, happily married, 23 years. Next month, next month we're going to Chantal's dream destination, Mauritius, which is awesome. And she's been praying for that. She's got like stickers all over the kitchen of like, or like little pendants from Mauritius. So God has given us our dreams. We own a beautiful home in Musenberg now. And yeah, man, the main thing is I'm fulfilled in him. Sorry, my alarm's going to go off now. We're fulfilled in him. We're members, we're healthy parts of our community. We're contributing as a family, not just me. And God's used us, man. And that's the other thing I wanted to just kind of conclude almost with, that is that actually God, in my brokenness, God has used me. He's used us to pioneer church plants, to start this congregation as a home group. Like, we just went and obeyed. Andrew said, there's one or two guys in Sea Point that are keen to come to church. Does anybody want to move there? And we were like, cool, pick me. I'm going to move from Melkbos in my nice 3-bedroom home with my picket fence and my dog, and we're going to uproot everything we had a cat at the time, I think, but and we moved to a flat in Musenberg, and that thing just grew and grew and grew. We moved from Malkbos to Sea Point, and that grew to City Ball, and then we've been involved. We moved from City Ball here. We moved to Musenberg, to Weinberg, and they felt. Then we planted with them to join them. We moved from Pinelands to Fishhook, and then from there we felt there was a plant on the cards for Musenberg, and from Musenberg we're looking at a new venue, in fact, and probably starting something kind of new. You'll hear about it. But it's basically the same congregation, but we're going to be moving into a new location. And some things have been happening this week. I can't say too much, but pray for us. But that's the cool thing, man, is that God wants to move with us and work through us, despite, doesn't matter how broken you are here today. All right, so and all the things that I've done, the doctor said were impossible to do. And, yeah, man, I'm telling you, it's literally what's happened to me is the physical equivalent, because people, not everyone gets mental illness. It's a physical equivalent of walking out of a wheelchair. That is how small the success rate is of actually recovering from a thing like schizophrenia. So God, if God can do that in me, whatever you might be suffering from today, God will come and can come and will want to heal you today. I really believe it. So we are going to create some space and opportunity, Dave, just now, I think, as well, just to pray for you, whether you're physically ill or mentally ill, God wants to come and heal you. The devil has come to kill, steal, and destroy, but I've come to give life and life in abundance. That's what God says in John 10:10. How awesome is that? Yeah, so I hope that my story has helped to expose the lies that Satan might have been speaking over you, that you might have been believing for your own life. But today he wants to come and destroy that. Maybe you've tried everything, you know. Maybe you've tried to make everything better on your own, but inside you're feeling broken, empty, lost, like me. But the reality is you were created to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the purpose that he came to die on a cross, to set you free from. Maybe you might be trapped in mental illness. You might be lonely, like me, outside of a family. You might be crying out, going like, Jesus, I need you. I need that miracle. I need that miracle that you're talking about today. I need that miracle right now in my life. And God wants to do that. I'm telling you. He is so passionately in love with every single person on earth. He made you for a relationship with him. And, yeah, I really believe that. So, you might not believe that, but I know through my own life, like, I was so broken. And you know what? God is a gentleman. He sends his son. It says he stands outside the door and knocks, and he's inviting you in to relationship with. He wants to have a relationship. He doesn't want to force himself on you, but he's calling you today. He's calling you by name. And, yeah, he's the Jesus. Like, I just sat in that room, and I said, you know what? I just asked Jesus to come into my heart. That's all I did. It's a very simple gospel. And you might be saying to yourself, you know, I need that Jesus. I might have even been sitting in church here and going like, just because you park a car or park an object in a garage doesn't make it a car. It means just because you come to church doesn't mean you're a Christian. There's often people that are sitting here day in, day out, week in, week out, that don't even know this king that I'm talking about. So I'd love to pray with you guys, if that's okay, and actually just pray for Jesus to do something amazing. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Yeah, thank you, God. Thank you, God. So today, yeah, just